let's just refresh our memories for a minute of the first of the two verses that Charles very nicely read for us. They say, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against our souls. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they were accusing you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Well, Peter starts off in such a loving way. He shows his love for these Christians by calling them dear friends. Peter's heart is full of love and companionship for these dear folk who are going through such difficult times in their lives right then. We believe that Peter wrote this letter when he was in Rome, and there was a lot of argy-bargy going on at that time. Nero was accusing the Christians of starting a huge fire that devastated the city of Rome. And he was accusing the Christians, so he was rounding as many Christians he could get up and put them in prison. And he was torturing them and putting many to death, evicting many from their homes. And they were being scattered throughout the world. Because of this unrest, Peter knew that more persecution was coming their way. Through the previous verses, he has been building them up in their faith so they would have a firm foundation to endure the trials. Peter couldn't be with them physically, but his letter brought such hope and encouragement. Now, Peter called them his friends, and we all need good friends. We need each other's love and friendship. For good friends stand by us through thick and thin, ups and downs of life. We need each other's encouragement, but without criticism. We need each other's truthfulness, but without self-righteous judgment. We need to be loved. It is an essential part of our God-given life. And Peter understood that all so very well. He knew what heartache and suffering in life can bring. But when he walked with Jesus those 3.5 years, that Jesus was his friend, one on whom Peter and therefore all of us can utterly depend for every part of our life. A friend whose love will never, ever grow cold. As we grow in our friendship with one another, we notice each other's weaknesses and faults, yet we are still to love one another. For none of us are perfect. And thankfully, it's said in Scripture, love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that great? Peter knew very much in his own life what that meant. For when he denied his Lord 3 times, and Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. Jesus knows our weaknesses, but he has brought us to himself, and he loves us. Peter must have prayed hugely for his friends. And I expect he would have remembered that precious prayer of Jesus for him when Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. Praying for each other is a vital part of our lives. Paul prayed some wonderful prayers in his letter to the Christians at Ephesus and Philippians. If you want to read them when you get home, it's well worth reading. They're wonderful prayers. For each one of us to pray for one another. Out of Peter's loving care, he urges and implores us and his friends in northern Turkey to look on their lives in a different way from those who are around them. In fact, he calls them by a different name. It might seem a bit odd to be called aliens. Peter wasn't saying that we're from a different planet. He wasn't saying that when we prayed, we weren't Martians, that when we prayed, a little aerial came out of the top of our head and, you know, later Tom to Earth and all that other stuff. He didn't mean that. So what does it mean to become aliens, to be aliens and foreigners in this world? I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel alien and a foreigner if I go to Camborne, or, you know, up country, or even Plymouth. In the New Living Translation, it gives it quite a nice little way. It says that we are temporary residents in this world. And there is a saying which I expect you all know very well. We are in the world, but not of the world. And that's the key. We live our lives loving God, living for God, abiding in Jesus. He has become our life. We cannot imagine life without him. He is our comfort. He is our joy. He is the very lover of our souls. He looks after every detail, whether small or great. He is truly our Heavenly Father. As we live this loving relationship with our God, then yes, it might seem like we are living as aliens around us because we live our lives differently. We have a different outlook on life. We also look with the firm and sure hope of life after death. It does not mean that we cut ourselves off from the world and go and live in a cave somewhere. No. We live in the world, but not of the world. Later in verse 11, Peter talks about sinful desires that war against the soul. And we know that there's nothing good about war. It's a tussle between good and evil. Of those things in our lives that attack our walk with God. For an example, it's okay to have a glass or two of wine, but not in excess. Why? Well, Paul writes to the church in Ephesians to get, not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And who on earth wants to be drunk with wine when you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is absolutely amazing and excels everything else? And it doesn't get a headache in the next morning. It's just fantastic. There are many temptations, but Peter says to abstain. Take no part in the things that go against the words of Jesus and the commandments of God. Another example that Jesus gives us. He says to us to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, and pray for those who mistreat us. The first thing we should do is someone upsets us or does or says something that isn't true or seems unjust. The first thing is to pray. Why is that? Well, the first thing that prayer does, it changes us. It changes our outlook on the situation. It seeks God for his way in the situation. We come to God with the upset, the discord, the accusation. We lay it down before him and we remember his words. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. We might say, but yes, Pinky Neck, You don't know what that person did to me. You don't know what that person said to me. You weren't there. But Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Now, who do we want to obey? God's commandments or our own nature? Who do we want to represent in the world? If our friends and relatives, neighbours who don't go to church, who might not have a faith, hear us talking about our fellow Christians in a big word here, derogatory way, how do you think they are going to think, wow, I thought Christians are supposed to love each other? As we represent God to the world, may we remember his commandments and obey them, especially when it hurts. A number of years ago, the Lord led us to be involved with a young couple who had recently become Christians. We were spending some time with them because they needed help in different ways. Now, their older sister didn't appreciate this very much, and she started spreading rumours and lies about us around the place. And we weren't sure what to do or how to respond to the situation. So we waited a couple of weeks and prayed about it and hoped that it would settle down. But early one morning, the Lord woke me up and he said to me that I'm to go down and see Glynis, which is the older sister, and she used to walk her children past our front door on the way to school. And I was to go down and put my hands on her shoulders and give her a kiss on the cheek. Well, you can imagine that wasn't the one thing I wanted to hear. And I thought, oh, Lord, you know, but I was sure that it was his voice saying that to me. I was so sure of it. And so thankfully, he enabled me to pray. His legs are trembling. He helped me to do what he asked me to do. Well, that afternoon, there was a knock on the door. And there was Glynis. And my heart was thumping. Is she going to smash me in the face? You know, whoa. But she asked to come in. And she came in. And we had a cup of tea. And we had a really good chat. And the Lord took all the aggro from her. You know, all the false things she was thinking. And he blessed us. We are to love our enemies. No one is going to get away with anything, because we all have to stand before God one day and answer for our conduct and our actions. This is what Peter was saying. We need to live our lives by obeying God's commandments and doing good deeds, so that those who do not believe will be drawn to God by our loving one another. And thus glory will go to God, because he is the amazing one who leads us to obey him. He is the one that gives us the desires, the love, the patience, the guidance, and most of all the Holy Spirit, to enable us to obey God's word. We have not been left powerless. We cannot do it without him. He has given us everything to live this godly, God-given life.